So for today's message, I would like to begin with a question. And the question is, can you name me? And I'm going to go through a trait, and it's a passage from T.M. Olson that I would like for us to consider. I was never guilty of wrong action, but on my account, lives have been lost. Trains have been wrecked. Ships have gone down to sea. Cities have burned. Battles have been lost. And governments have failed. I never struck a blow or spoke an unkind word, but because of me, homes have been broken up. Friends have grown cold. The laughter of children have ceased. Wives have shed bitter tears. Brothers and sisters have forgotten. And fathers and mothers have gone brokenhearted to their graves. I've intended no evil, but because of me, talent and genius has come to naught. Courtesy and kindness has failed. And the promise of success and happiness have yielded sorrow and disaster. I have no sound, but just my silence. No cause for being myself, no progeny except grief and disasters. You may not on the instant call me by my name, but I'm sure you're personally acquainted with me. Who am I? When reviewing the characteristics, we see that there was no wrong action, but disaster resulted. Never struck a blow or an unkind word, but coldness and happiness was the result. No evil was intended, none at all, but hope and genius were lost. No sound, just silence. No progeny, but grief and disaster. Who am I? I am neglect. We don't hear much about neglect in our daily lives, yet the impact of neglect is far-reaching. It has impacted the world around us and our lives specifically. Yet neglect, by its nature, is not something we pay attention to. Neglect is defined as to give little attention to or respect to, or to leave undone or unattended to, especially through carelessness. It implies giving insufficient attention to something that merits one's attention. One aspect of its definition that I find poignant is the two words attributed to it: voluntary inattention. Voluntary inattention. In other words, to neglect something is a choice of ours. We choose to neglect. It's a choice we can make or have made, a choice that society has made. In fact, the world has made a choice of neglect. And though the results, we can't see them at all times, and the immediate impact isn't there, it can be devastating in the long run. What about neglect? Let's think about it for a while. Let's take a look at our planet. We don't have to go far to see what's going on in our planet around us. The following are excerpts from cmetrics.com in an article entitled 15 Interesting Facts About Water Pollution You Should Know, and I won't read all 15, just a few of them. Here's one. The Mississippi River carries an estimated 1.5 million metric tons of nitrogen of pollution into the Gulf of Mexico each year, creating a dead zone in the Gulf each summer about the size of New Jersey. Approximately 40% of the lakes in America are too polluted for fishing, aquatic life, or swimming. If you don't believe that, go down to the Salton Sea nearby. Each year, 1.2 trillion gallons of untreated sewage, stormwater, and industrial waste are dumped into U.S. waters. But this neglect is not only limited to the U.S. Tens of millions of people in Bangladesh have been exposed to poisonous levels of arsenic from contaminated groundwater. In developing countries, 70% of the industrial wastes are dumped and untreated into waters, polluting the only stable water supply. More than 70% of China's rivers and lakes are polluted, government reports have said, and almost half may contain water that is unfit for human consumption and contact. An article entitled from the June 8, 2017 Economist is entitled, "The Most Neglected Threat to Public Health in China is Its Toxic Soil." Finally, the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs noted in a report produced in October 2014, every year more people die from unsafe water than from all forms of violence, including war. Let's turn to Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. And we're familiar with these scriptures, but it's good to go over them in light of this. Genesis 1, verse 26. And then it starts with, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over all fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth.' So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth.'" God, the Bible tells us that God created man and woman in his image and gave them dominion over all the earth. This includes the animals that God had created as well as the entire earth itself. And God also charged their descendants with the care of the earth. Turn a page over to Genesis 2, verse 15. It states then the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So besides having dominion over creation, man is to tend or to work or to till and keep the garden, and by extension, nature. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for tend in this passage means to use, and the word translated keep means to guard, to protect, to preserve. Thus, from the very beginning, God expected man to use the products of nature for his or her sustenance, but also to be responsible for that use and to preserve life-giving systems and the creatures of creation. Perhaps that's why we are commanded to take care of this earth, is it's an illustration of our role to have responsibility and stewardship in our journey through this life. God placed man over the crown of the earth, his creation. Thus we are to show care, compassion, responsibility with how we deal with creation. In this way, we can better appreciate the special relationship God has established with man, who was created in his own image. As members of God's family, we show good stewardship by accepting the responsibility we have been given from the beginning, that is to take care of the environment around us. How well do we do showing stewardship for the creation we've been blessed with? Do we follow environmental guidelines? Or are they just cumbersome? It doesn't matter, we throw out trash in the street or whatever. How do our homes look to the public? Are they well kept or are they an eyesore? Do we take care of our personal possessions? Or have we accepted the norms of a throwaway society? But neglect is not limited to our environment, our cities, but to us as humans individually. I'd like to read from an article from The Observer, "Top GP condemns Britons for recklessly neglecting their health." Britain's top GP today launches a scathing attack on the widespread reckless public behavior towards food, alcohol, and cigarettes, which he claims is causing growing level of disease and early death. In a dramatic intervention into the public health debate, Professor Steve Field emphasizes parents, mothers-to-be, and The very overweight, smokers, drinkers for damaging their own health or their children's through irresponsible actions. Writing in today's Observer, Field, chairman of the Royal College of General Practitioners, backs the controversial call by Andrew Langsley, the health secretary, for Britons to take more responsibility for protecting their health. The truth is, too many of us neglect our health, and this is leading to increasing levels of illness and early death. Field writes, soaring levels of diabetes, much of it caused by obesity and the medical consequences of heavy drinking. Field writes, soaring levels of diabetes, much of it caused by obesity and the medical consequences of heavy drinking, which are ever affecting young people, express this widespread failure. He adds, discussion of the harmful medical consequences of ill-advised behavior is curtailed because of sensitivity. Field argues, too many people do not face up to the hard facts as they perceive them to be an aimed attack, in particular at the poorer members of society. But it's impossible to argue on medical or ethical grounds that such behavior is acceptable. The article continues, irresponsible parents are damaging their children's health by smoking around them, feeding them unhealthy food, and failing to act as good role models, he says. Mothers and fathers who smoke in cars carry their offsprings, who Field says are committing a form of child abuse at the home in front of their children, and which kills more young people than do accidental injuries. Parents who give their children unhealthy food or serve large portions are storing up huge problems for them, says Fields. Unless parents exert more control over their children's diets, they're risking a lifetime of health problems and even premature death before their parents, which is almost too sad to contemplate, he adds. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. And we're familiar with the scripture enough. I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. It states, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And it's interesting that Paul uses the example of the temple as an analogy for the body. What immense time and effort and wealth was placed into its construction. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. And let's talk about the construction of the temple. And again, I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. It puts it more modern terminology, but if you wouldn't mind following along. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. It states in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, then King David turned the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, who God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work of him ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals, but for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for the building of the temple of my God. There is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, as well as the great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. Verse 3. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm given all my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? What about us? Do we honor God with our bodies? Do we take care of ourselves? What do we eat? Do we exercise? Do we try to avoid stress? Do we take care of ourselves physically? Are we neat? Do we practice proper hygiene? When we're out in public, are we properly attired? Do we view our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Another question is, would others? Neglect is not only limited, though, to physical things. They can relate to inactions on our part, especially with regard to relationships. Again, I'd like to read from an article from the Star Online from a June 1st, 2014 article entitled, Gen Neglected, Are We Giving Kids a Future of Emotional Issues? The article starts, according to the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data System, NCANDS, now, the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data System is a voluntary data system that gathers information from all states, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico about reports of child abuse and neglect. So to go back to the article, according to the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data System, neglect is a type of maltreatment that refers to the failure by a caregiver to provide needed, age-appropriate care, although financially able to do so, or offered financial or other means to do so. It is usually characterized by a constant pattern of inadequate care that is obvious to those in close contact with a neglected child. There are four basic types of neglect, namely physical neglect, that is, failure to provide basic necessities such as food, water, and clothing, medical neglect, failure to meet a child's basic health care needs, such as ensuring he receives mandatory vaccinations or taking him to the doctor when he's sick, educational neglect, failure to educate him by sending him to school or allowing him to skip school without reason, and emotional neglect, failure to provide emotional support, which includes giving warmth and love and encouragement. This includes refusing to hold and touch him, ridiculing him, or isolating him from friends and family members. Of the four types of neglect, emotional neglect is often the most difficult to identify and is reported as secondary to the other forms of neglect. However, it is highly pervasive and an increasing problem in modern society. Neglecting an infant's need for mental stimulation and failing to nurture him as he grows results in delays in mental and cognitive development. In the long term, an emotionally neglected child may have poor self-image, which could lead to alcohol and drug abuse, destructive behavior, and even suicide. Often children who have been emotionally neglected grow up thinking that they're unworthy or deficient in some way. And due to this, he could face difficulty in making friends or conforming to the structure of a school setting. He may experience delayed speech and language skills and will tend to fare poorer than academically compared to the happier peers. And the article goes on. These days, children who feel emotionally neglected at home may turn to social networking sites such as Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter to seek attention and social interaction they crave. This can be dangerous, as there are many child predators online. This also exposes them to cyberbullying. Signs and symptoms of emotional neglect often manifest into problematic or self-destructive social behavioral patterns. An article from the Daily Mail demonstrates the challenges of daily living and neglect that results. And this is the article title. No time for the family, you're not alone. Parents and children spend less than an hour with each other every day because of modern demands. Dr. James Dobson of Focus of the Family made the following assessment when it came to roles and our roles as parents, especially in the materialistic society that we live in today. He stated, sometimes we're so concerned about giving our children what we never had growing up, we neglect to give them what we did have growing up. neglect has impacted our environment, the fabric of our society, and even down to our families. We can more understand the prophecy in Matthew 24, verse 12, where it states that the love of many will wax cold. Yet there's another way that neglect can impact our lives, and that is spiritually. Let's turn to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. I'll read to verse 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and it was confirmed by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles, and with gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. William Barclay makes the following commentary to Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. In the first verse, there may be even a more vivid picture than there is in the translation that we have used. The two key words are protean and perennian. We have taken protean to mean pay attention to, which is the most common meaning. Perennian is a word of many meanings. It's used of something that is flowing or slipping past. It can be used of a ring that has slipped off from a finger, a particle of food that has slipped down the wrong way, of a topic that has slipped through the conversation, of a point that has escaped somebody in the course of an argument, of some fact that has slipped out of the mind, of something that has ebbed or leaked away. It's regularly used of something that is carelessly or thoughtlessly allowed to become lost. Both of the words are used in a nautical sense. Protean can mean to moor a ship. Perennian can be used of a ship that has been carelessly allowed to slip past a harbor or a haven because the mariner has forgotten to allow for the wind or the current or the tide. So then, this first verse could be very vividly translated. Therefore, we must more eagerly anchor our lives to the things we have been taught, lest the ship of life drift past the harbor and we be wrecked. It is a vivid picture of a ship drifting to destruction because the pilot sleeps. Barclay concludes, for most of us, the threat of life is not so much that we should plunge into disaster, but we should drift into sin. There are few people who deliberately and in a moment turn their backs on God, but there are many who by day drift farther and farther away from him. And indeed, the Bible points out the danger of spiritual neglect. Turn to Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. And it states, and the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over all his household, to give them a portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. And truly I say to you, he will make them ruler over all he has. Verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, verse 46, the master of that servant will come in the day when he's not looking for him, at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will that did not prepare himself according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, for much will be required, and for whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. We may find it hard to understand that simply doing nothing is a dangerous endeavor, not only in the physical realm, but especially in the spiritual realm. Relationships do not fall apart because we don't work at them. No, relationships fall apart because we don't work at them. A beautiful garden is destroyed by neglect. A house crumbles around us if we don't maintain it. Simple neglect is enough to destroy a business. Neglecting our health or early symptoms of health problems is a recipe for serious health problems later in our lives. And if we neglect prayer, study, fellowship, if we become distracted by the here and now, we can drift from our relationship with a God because of our neglect. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, and I'd like to, verse 30, and I'd like to read from the New Living Translation again. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense, and I saw it was overgrown with nettles, and it was covered with weeds, and the walls were broken down. Then, as I looked, I thought about it, and I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little of a holding of the hands at rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Its scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. To destroy a relationship, whether it's coworkers, friends, family, parents, children, spouse, just neglect it. And it will be destroyed. It doesn't take any work at all to destroy a relationship. Just neglect it. To destroy our finances, you don't have to write bad checks. Just ignore and neglect the bills. Just ignore how we're spending things. Just neglect keeping an eye on what we're doing. We don't have to backslide and turn our back on God to lose our relationship with God. Just neglect it. Stop studying the Bible. Just stop praying. Too much work. Neglect the assembling of ourselves together with others of like mind to encourage one another. Just neglect it. And you can turn your back on God. It doesn't take much work. How can we tell if we're drifting? Because we lose focus on what truly is important in life. We'll lose passion. We can tell if we're drifting because we lose passion. We become indifferent to the situation at hand. We become tepid to our calling. Our priorities become confused. We focus more on here and now, what today brings, and maybe the opinions of others and what we can get in our lifetime, rather than the calling for the future. We lose self-discipline. When we're drifting, self-discipline becomes hard. It's just easier to check out once in a while. And once in a while then becomes a little more frequent. Finally, we can tell we're drifting if we just lose passion. That coming to church and just attending is a rote thing we do. We just come because we have to. We don't really get involved, and we just want to go home. It becomes mundane, becomes routine. If we do not believe there's a penalty for neglect, whether physically or spiritually, we are truly fooling ourselves. Revelation 3, verse 14, and we're familiar with this scripture, but we'll turn to it. Revelation 3, verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14. And God is speaking to the church in Laodicea. And he says in Revelation 3, verse 14, "And the angel, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, and you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you're lukewarm, because you neglect, because it's just not interesting, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." We do not need to actively reject God's way of life to be in danger. We just have to neglect it. Ignore it. Be careless with it. We don't need to commit great sins to destroy a relationship with God. Simple neglect over time will do it just as effectively. So far we have seen in this message the impact that neglect has in our environment, our society, our families, and ourselves, both physically and spiritually. And doesn't it seem at the time when we may find ourselves in a pattern of neglect, it's a choice, isn't it? We choose to neglect things, and it becomes a behavior pattern, and that's the danger of neglect. It becomes easier to do and to neglect as time goes on. It becomes a cycle in our lives, and because it becomes a cycle, it's harder and harder to extract ourselves from the pattern that has been established. When we evaluate our lives and measure it up to God's standards, we tend to think of what decisions did we make, don't we? Oh, I made this mistake, and I made this error, and I failed to do this, yet I didn't. But what about our inactions? What about the things we just ignored, the things we neglect? They can be just as devastating in our relationship with others and with God. So how do we break that cycle? Today I'd like to review four things we can do to break the cycle of neglect in our lives. The first thing we can do to break the cycle of neglect, take the time to meditate. Take the time. Take some time to meditate. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And this is for the young adults here. This is written to a young adult himself, Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. It states, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." The Greek word here that's translated meditate means to take care of, to resolve in the mind. Paul informed Timothy, it's more than just listening. It's more than just coming to church and listening to a message. It's more than understanding. Many people have understanding. He needed to meditate on those things. He needed to think on these things, to take a step back. And in this crazed world, that's one of the hardest things for all of us to do, is to take a step back and think on these things, to meditate on them so he could grow. In our frantic and paced life, fast-paced life, how often do we smell the roses? I would dare say we probably don't even see the roses, much less smell them. We're so busy not to take the time to shut down and consider where we're going. When that happens, what do? We neglect people, especially those around us. We're too busy to spend time with our spouse or our children. We're too tired to keep up with the checkbook. and we fall behind on our bills. We just can't really fix those things that are going on around the house, and only to find out that when we neglect these things, the matters only get worse. And then what happens? We become anxious. We become stressed. And it's just a vicious cycle. That's why we need to take the time out to meditate, to take care of, to think on those things that are truly important, to resolve, not to let those things that distract us take us away from what's truly important, our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, our example, our community, and our relationship with each other. The meditation the Bible speaks of is not what it's promoted today. The Bible relates meditation to self-examination, prioritizing, taking time to stand back and examine our life, examine our actions in light of the compass we have been given, His Word. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes effort to set aside a little bit of time every day to take a break from the world around us. But it's a necessary part of our journey, and it'll keep us on the right path. The second thing we can do to break the cycle of neglect, take time to focus on the little things. Take time to focus on the little things. And I'd like you to turn to Zechariah 4, verse 9. Take time to focus on the little things. Zechariah 4, verse 9. Zechariah 4, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of his temple. His hands have also finished it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who, verse 10, has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes to the Lord, which scan to and fro from throughout the whole earth. Zechariah was engaged in a rebuilding of the temple of Jerusalem. And both supporters and foes, the Samaritans, doubted whether, even on a small scale, the structure would ever be completed. It was started and then delayed for 17 years. They would lay the foundations, but they were too weak, possessed too little riches, had too little strength to carry it out. It was the day of small things. Supporters trembled and the foes jeered. After it was built, it was noticed that it wasn't nearly as glorious with the former structure of Solomon, especially by those who had seen the old temple. And the supporters of the project lamented it was so small, and the foes of it rejoiced and uttered strong expressions of contempt. But the prophet rebuked them both. He rebuked the unbelief of the supporters and the contempt of the enemies by this question: who has despised the day of small things? Unfortunately, in this day and age, when something is seemingly small, deemed insignificant, we tend to ignore it. Taking the time to recycle or to clean up an area where we may have been, maybe a picnicking, seems to be a small thing. But it sets an example to our children and to others about the importance of taking care of the blessing of this environment, of this creation God has given to us, to be proper stewards of what we've been blessed with. Listening to our child when we're too busy working on a project at home for something for work is a small thing, but it carries big dividends in later life. Paying off that credit card when there's a balance, rather than spending all your available cash on a want, may seem like a small thing. But with your financial house in order, you don't have to do what so many do in this day and age, worry and fret how they're going to make it to the next paycheck. Talking to your spouse about something that has irritated you, rather than allowing the annoyance to fester into anger, may seem like a small thing, but it will save a lot of heartache and grief. Taking the time to make a minor fix around the house can save significant time. an expense in the future. This reminds me when at this point of a time when I was upset with one of my sons when they were in high school, not paying attention to the details at school. And I was upset with them, and I dropped them off at school, dropped them off here. And I was going to work, and I stopped at the gas station, and I was just mumbling about it. I was really upset. How could he not paid attention to all those details? And I'm mumbling away, and if anybody was at that gas station, they probably backed away a little bit because I'm talking away to myself, filling up my car. So I finally, kept fretting over it, and the gas stopped pumping. And I remember going into the car and taking off. Then I heard this scraping sound. And I wondered, what? Stopped the car, walked outside, and there was the hose still connected to the gas tank. It sort of pulled it off the gas dispenser, went down the road away. So I drove the car back and brought this hose to the attendant, who just stared at me. I was so focused on my son not focusing on small things, I forgot to focus on the small things myself. So even a gas hose pump connected to your car before in your vehicle while driving away is something I should have focused on. It was a small thing, but it cost me a pretty penny afterwards when I had to get it fixed. Og Mandino, an American essayist and psychologist, once stated, "Never neglect the little things. Never skimp on that extra effort, that additional few minutes, that soft word of praise or thanks, that delivery of the very best of what you can do. It doesn't matter what others think. It is of prime importance. However, what you think about you, you can never do your best, which should be always your trademark if you're cutting corners and shirking responsibilities. You are special. Act it. Never neglect the little things." The third thing we can do to break the cycle of neglect, be appreciative of what we have. Be appreciative of what we have. In contrast, rather than focusing on what we don't have. Those who are thankful for the good things God has given will take care of those things, whether it be their mind, maybe their automobile, their body. They'll take care of their family. They'll take care of their responsibilities at work. Taking care of the good things that we have been blessed with tells others that we are thankful for them. Not that we should ever worship the things we've been blessed with, but we need to be proper stewards. We need to take care of them. We need to properly manage our finances against the many pulls that pull at our earnings. If we are unthankful, if we are unappreciative, and we fail to see how blessed we are, even if we don't have much, we could find ourselves taking risks that could ultimately backfire. Turn to Proverbs 23, verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacy. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." If we're around thinking about all the negative things around us and what we can complain about, we will most likely develop a pessimistic personality, and it will pull us down. Since pessimism and optimism are two polar opposites, which one we allow in our minds and feed our minds will eventually push the other farther and farther away. That's why we need to think, to meditate on the things we have in our life that we are and we should be thankful for. It may be helpful to put together a list. Work in and keep in mind throughout the day of the things we're to be thankful for. For example, you might find yourselves in a difficult situation at work, but yet, are we thankful that we have gainful employment? It will take work at first, and especially if our minds are programmed to think negatively and pessimistically. The Bible encourages us to be thankful at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But that's not only include what we've been given, but being thankful for all those around us. When we come to services to be encouraged by one another, are we thankful for the opportunity to be together and to share this journey with one another? Ralph Marston, the founder of the Daily Motivator, once stated, "What if you gave someone a gift and they neglected to thank you for it? Would you be likely to give them another?" Life is the same way. In order to attract more of the blessings that life has to offer, you must truly appreciate what you already have. The fourth way to break the cycle of neglect, eliminate procrastinating. Eliminate procrastinating. A quote from J.R.R. Tolkien is as follows: "It's a job that's never started that takes the longest to finish." It's a job that's never started that takes the longest to finish. When we procrastinate, we delay an action on an item, don't we? And there are three outcomes to procrastination. One, which we hope for, the matter will work itself out on its own, and that rarely happens. Or the matter will get worse, such as a small repair becoming a major issue in a home. And then what's the other outcome? The angst of not doing what should be done, and it takes such an emotional toll on ourselves. Only to find out, and how many times have you done that? We fret and angst over a problem, and then when we take care of it, we go, "Oh, that wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as originally we thought." Procrastination is the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. And in some people, it's a habitual way of handling any task. The word itself is not found in the Bible. We won't find the word procrastination. But there are some principles that could guide us. Sometimes procrastination is a result of laziness, and the Bible has plenty to say about that. The Bible commends hard work and industry. So let's take a few proverbs, look at a few proverbs to that effect, and I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. And there's no need to turn there. We're just going to read two right now. Proverbs 12, verse 27. "Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they find." Proverbs 13, verse 4. "Lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper." One cure for procrastination is more diligence, regardless of the task. The Bible says that when it comes to some things, we should never delay. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, Matthew 5, verse 23, if you follow along. "So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put into prison." Christ thought that reconciling with an offended brother should be done immediately upon our remembrance of the situation. We shouldn't procrastinate. We are also told to settle matters quickly with our adversaries in verse 25. However tasteful it may be to us, however difficult it may be to us, we need to pursue peace. We must avoid stalling. Ephesians 4, verse 26 states, "Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath." We shouldn't let the sun go down while we're still angry. Dealing appropriately with anger is a matter of great importance, and we must not put it off till tomorrow. which will give Satan a foothold, as it states in verse 27. And there are times that when we procrastinate, and I'm as guilty as anyone with procrastination, the task just seems too much. It's just too daunting. And so we just want to delay and hope it takes care of itself. Sometimes it's just overwhelming. And so what we need to do is just to break it up in small pieces, take a small step at a time, and move forward to take care of things and not to procrastinate. It'll make the daunting task just a little less daunting. In the beginning of this message, we began with the question, "Can you name me?" And I dealt with a quote that dealt with this question. We found the following characteristics of neglect. There may be no wrong action associated with neglect, but disaster can result. Neglect does not necessarily result in a blow or an unkind word, but coldness and happiness can result. With neglect, there may be no evil intended. There wasn't any evil intent, but hope and talent has been lost as a result of it. With the neglect, there is no sound, just silence, no progeny, but grief and distaste. And in this message, we looked at the ways neglect can impact our lives. It has impacted our environment. It can impact our health. It can impact our relationship with others. It can ultimately impact our relationship with God. Neglect goes against the concept of being proper stewards of what we've been given, of being responsible for our actions. And it ultimately goes dead set against building the character that God wants from us as children of His family. But we can break that cycle of neglect. We need to, one, take time to meditate. Take time to think about your direction, our direction in life, and where we're headed. Take time to focus on the little things. Don't leave the hose of the gas pumps in your car as you drive away. Be appreciative of what we have rather than focusing on what we don't have. Because when we are appreciative, we'll take care of what we've been blessed with. And we will not neglect it. And then four, we need to make an effort to eliminate procrastination in our lives. If the task is daunting, just break it down to smaller pieces. Seek help as well. Seek the encouragement of one another. In our journey of this life, we need to be more cognizant of our inactions, the things we don't do, the things we have neglected. They can make a significant impact not only in our lives, but the lives of others. But it will take effort, takes focus to think on these things. But the reward is so great. We're coming up to the fall festivals, a time that pictures Christ's return to this earth, a time that pictures the stopping of man's destructive ways, a time of man ending man's neglect on this earth. It's going to be a time of renewal. It's a time of spiritual and physical renewal on this earth. It's a time that will end the neglect that we see in the world around us. Let us consider how we, all of us individually, can break the cycle of neglect in whatever form it finds us in our lives today.